1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. 100 million Americans across 27 states remain under heat alerts coast to coast. Mid-90s today in Washington, D.C. Seeing Thaddeus Moore walking around wearing caps. What's her trick to keeping cool?
Because we walk quickly towards the shade, we're okay. And we have our water. So we're okay. And we walk very briskly.
In the heartland, the National Guard assisting residents in flood-ravaged northwest Iowa. Rivers expected to crest over record levels. The death toll rising to 4 in this weekend's mass shooting in Arkansas. Suspect is in custody. Prime Minister Netanyahu doubling down on his claims that arms shipments from the U.S. to Israel are decreasing. This as deadly IDF strikes level more buildings in northern Gaza. And Israel's defense minister prepares for meetings with officials here in the U.S. 9 people, including 6 police officers, killed in what appears to be coordinated attacks by gunmen in Russia's Dagestan region. This is ABC News. Climatologists calling for more action to combat global warming after numerous heat-related deaths overseas, including more than 1,300 deaths during this year's Hajj pilgrimage. ABC's Mark Remillard has more.
Faithful Muslims faced extreme temperatures in Saudi Arabia.
We must do climate action to stop the global warming.
Fahad Saeed is a scientist with climate analytics in Pakistan and says many Muslims prepare for years to travel to Mecca.
They save the money not to build their house, not to go for their insurance, but to perform Hajj.
Authorities in Egypt have suspended the licenses of 16 travel agencies accused of helping unauthorized pilgrims travel to Saudi Arabia. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
The Coast Guard has suspended the search for 2 teenagers who went missing in the water at a busy New York City beach on Friday. The search spanned more than 600 miles and involved helicopter, air, and boat crews. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/wiscway. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. It's summer vacation season. One Wisconsin travel agent says there are plenty of options, even on a tight budget. Mike Mohn reports.
Economists are more optimistic these days when it comes to inflation trending downward, but childcare expenses and higher housing payments remain a burden on household finances. Wisconsin-based travel agent Elsie Rushline says if you're wrestling with the idea of heading out of town, there are ways to stretch your travel budget. One example is booking lodging that comes with a complimentary breakfast.
Sometimes the bigger chains include the breakfast and the littler ones, like the motels and stuff, don't. So you might spend a couple dollars more in the hotel, but you're saving that money, especially if you've got kids. Like, they always want to eat breakfast.
Rushline says you can also grab some snacks from that breakfast to take on your daily adventures. And if you're planning a relatively short road trip, such as a few days in a nearby lake town, she recommends packing food before you drive off to avoid spending money on drinks and other items at gas stations along the way. For households with a little more wiggle room for a trip further away from home, Rushline says it's not too late to book flights or hotels for later in the summer, but she recommends acting now to keep costs lower.
I would say book ahead if you can, because when you're doing last-minute travel, it tends to be a little bit more expensive.
For those sticking with the road but are worried their vehicle won't make the trip, analysts say car rental prices have come down a bit since their post-pandemic spike in 2021. Rushline says if possible, I had a trip with another family to split those rental costs along with other expenses. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of clouds and sunshine for your Sunday. Northwest winds and a chance of showers, even some thunderstorms as we head through the afternoon. Highs in the mid and upper 70s. Those shower and storm chances come to an end tonight. Partly cloudy, upper 50s to lower 60s. It's 78 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, more and more UW-Madison students are interested in learning about public policy and sinkholes. Why? We'll find out. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome in to this week's Civic Media Spotlight. First up, we go to Matinair on Air. This week, Jane and Greg spoke with Senator Tammy Baldwin about her Stop Bad Mergers Act, which seeks to crack down on company mergers that result in higher prices and fewer jobs.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at 11:33, as he does every other Thursday at this time, J.R. Radcliffe from the Journal Sentinel will be joining us to talk all things sports. I know Brewers are on top of his mind. We also have the Bucks draft is coming up, and then we're going to share some favorite Summerfest memories. But right now, we're very excited to be joined once again by Wisconsin's junior U.S. Senator, Senator Tammy Baldwin is our guest. Good morning, Senator. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm terrific. How are you?
We are wonderful. Very excited to have you here. So much going on. And I know we're going to, let's talk about the Stop Bad Mergers Act, Senator Baldwin.
Yes.
Where does this stem from? What would it do? And why is this bad?
So this first came to my attention when we heard the announcements that two large Energizer battery plants in Wisconsin were going to be closing. They employ hundreds of Wisconsinites, and they have for decades. But what happened back in 2018 was there was a merger or an acquisition by Energizer from Rayovac. These used to be Rayovac battery plants. And so Energizer acquired them, and that had to be scrutinized and approved by the Federal Trade Commission. But they did a really sloppy job. I have to say, this is my own opinion. It was done really quickly, whereas in other countries where they were scrutinizing the same merger, they were looking at it over a longer period of time. They were placing conditions on the merger. Not in this case, in the U.S. They quickly approved it with no conditions. And one of the things that the Federal Trade Commission is supposed to be looking at is the health of the competition. And so these mergers should not lead to more expensive batteries. In fact, they should perhaps lead to lower cost batteries,
right,
if there's good competition. But they never looked at the impact on jobs. And so what this bill, Stop Bad Mergers Act, does is it empowers the Federal Trade Commission to look retroactively at something they've approved in the past and look at, did it have the desired impact on the cost of the product for consumers? I mean, these are the lead consumer watchdogs, right? So,
right.
So we need them to be looking at that. But also, what impact did it have on workers and jobs? And so number one, this bill would permit the Federal Trade Commission to take a look backwards. But in future, it would also require that they analyze the impact of mergers and acquisitions on jobs. And during the process of scrutiny of a proposed merger, workers would have input, meaning they would be able to file documents and have their testimony heard about their view on how this merger or acquisition would impact the workforce.
That would be game changing. Yeah. If workers were able to weigh in on this, wouldn't it be?
Absolutely. There's so many decisions that are made in the corporate world where workers have little input, and yet it's the workers who lead to the success of the corporations. And so, you know, I think about the board decisions to make stock buybacks or, you know, to acquire or merge and all those sort of things. There's usually not workers in the board or, you know, workers represented on the board of directors.
Right.
This bill doesn't address that per se. It just allows pathways for having input. But that's something we should be aware of.
If you're just joining us, Wisconsin's U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin is joining us, and we're talking about the Stop Bad Mergers Act, and it specifically relates to battery plants here in Wisconsin, and batteries have a long history in this state.
They do. They do. I mean, Rayovac was around for many, many years, it is a time, you know, interestingly, where we should be putting more emphasis on battery manufacturing, especially as we look at a pivot on how we produce energy. The more we hope to rely on clean and renewable sources that are sometimes, you know, like solar, where you produce the energy during the day, because you have to have the sunlight, but you need to store it so that it can be used in the evenings and night. We need to perfect that technology. And so these, of course, are small scale batteries. One of the plants is batteries for hearing aids. And the other is, I guess, standard alkaline batteries, the things we use in many of our gadgets and,
sure,
and devices. But there's no lack of demand for hearing aid batteries, right?
Right.
As our society ages. And so just the fact that these plants are closing, those jobs are being offshored, is so frustrating to me. But it's strengthening the hand of the Federal Trade Commission to be able to look at more factors when they're looking at approving or denying or placing conditions on a merger. I want to see them have the tools necessary to do the job right, and especially when so many workers are affected by their decisions.
I don't know this to be completely accurate, Senator Baldwin, but it does seem to me like when companies merge, it rarely works out well for the workers, because people become redundant and some of those jobs are recreated, and it just seems like a lot of people end up losing their, always works out pretty well for the company and the people in the boardroom, as you said, not necessarily so much for the ones who are working on the line.
Yes, absolutely. I think that what this bill will do is allow the Federal Trade Commission not only to consider future mergers and acquisitions, but take some lessons learned from things that they've approved in the past. How did that really work for workers? And what, right now we can speak about that anecdotally, but I'd like the Federal Trade Commission to have the resources they need to take a retrospective look at mergers and acquisitions that they've previously approved and say, how did it impact consumers? How did it impact workers? They'd have then more to rely on as they look at similar mergers and acquisitions in the future. And so, you know, this would move us from the anecdotal to facts, hard facts that they should have in their hands as they evaluate things in the future.
Interesting comment from David on the live stream. He says, I feel like this bill would involve a lot of looking at the Boeing McDonnell Douglas merger as well, given how things have turned out. And I didn't realize until last month that stock buybacks used to be illegal.
Oh, yes. In the early 1980s, the Securities and Exchange Commission made them permissible, stock buybacks. You know, the concern there and the reason they were illegal before was because it's inside, you know, it's like insider trading.
Yeah.
You know the information in your company, and then you announce a stock buyback, and it really allows, it really feathers the nests of the corporate executives and others who are compensated in terms of stocks, et cetera. But it also takes that capital out of being able to be reinvested in the plant and in the workers. And in R&D and all those other things that they could be doing with that. So since the time that the SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission, sort of opened that door up again, we have seen staggering sums of corporate profits being used for stock buybacks, as opposed to these other things that you could do with those profits. And in fact, some corporations have even gone into debt. They've borrowed money so that they can do stock buybacks. And that, you know, I think we should go back to the day that that they were considered, that they were limited. But in the meantime, one of the other proposals out there is to put a surcharge or a small tax on the stock buybacks to temper them at least a little bit. And frankly, I think we should look very seriously at that tool, too.
Yeah, fewer stock buybacks and maybe more doors that stay closed on planes. It's just a thought. I know. I know it's wacky. Senator, we have about 3 minutes left. And just real briefly, with all of the division that we see across the country, when you talk to constituents as you travel across the state, which I know you do frequently, what are the things that people say they agree on? What do we get? What do we actually get along about?
Well, we all love Wisconsin. And I think about, you know, just what we were talking about. We have such a strong work ethic. And so the fight for good paying jobs that support your family, that allow you to get ahead, to save some money, go on vacation, you know, with the kids in the summer. And so good paying jobs and our work ethic. We agree on how beautiful our state is, and particularly the need to protect our state waters. We're on two Great Lakes. We're on the Mississippi River and St. Croix River on our west coast. We have these beautiful inland lakes and riverways, and protecting them, protecting our drinking water is a big emphasis that I hear no matter where I am, rural areas, urban areas, suburban areas. Our wellness and investing in making sure that people can access the health care that they need to be well and thrive. And people want their rights and freedoms back. And I think that also crosses, in most parts, the divides that we have in our state, that whether you're Republican, independent, or Democrat, we have seen folks want women to have the right to control their own bodies and those freedoms to be able to get the health care they need without having to be near death in order to access the care they need.
See, there are things we can agree on, and there are things
we can
get done together. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, our junior senator from Wisconsin, thank you so very, very much for your time. Really appreciate
thank
it,
you.
Senator. Have a wonderful day.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up, we go to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. This week, Pat sets the record straight on right-wing media and politicians who've resorted to cherry-picking video in order to tell lies about President Biden, perhaps as a distraction against Donald Trump's increased rally ramblings.
This is for you, Greg. We miss you. No. Okay, actually, it's for Barry Manilow. It's Barry Manilow's birthday today, so we'll get in a tune or two coming up a little bit. But I'm happy you're here too, Luke, just to make that part clear.
Oh, don't worry. I'm never concerned. I'm not the one that needs the fawning over to make sure that I remember.
I like that confidence. I really do. No. It's just about 6:21 on this Monday morning. Let's get to unpacking some of the news today, and then more birthdays in our history lesson coming up in 30 minutes. On social media, for the second time in 2 weeks, conservative media is doing more than simply, say, distorting something that President Biden says or does. The outright lying and manipulation of their audience, of their readers, of their viewers, of their listeners. We talked about this on Friday morning with Mark Jacob, about the first instance of this is so low, and yet they did it again over the weekend, and here's what I mean. You'll recall that just over a week ago, President Biden was in Europe commemorating D-Day, and he and other world leaders were gathered, and paratroopers were starting to land to commemorate the paratroopers jumping 80 years ago. In one case, President Biden appears to wander off screen. Now, if you're looking at multiple camera shots, you see what he was doing. A paratrooper had just landed. He was walking over to him to congratulate him, to talk to him. Anybody would be very happy to have a sitting president of the United States come over to say hi to you. But of course, it's so easy to just look at the one camera frame and say, oh, President Biden appeared to wander off. He got lost. He's just wandering off the frame. Is he okay? And of course, it was so easy to show that was complete and total manipulation of the audience by conservative media outlets. And you would think they might have been chastened a bit, maybe feel a slight sense of shame. And yet they did it again over this past weekend when President Biden gathered with former President Obama and many others at a fundraiser in California. And one of the first posts I see this morning is from Congressman Derek Van Orden, again saying, you know, sharing somebody with a film snippet that appears to show President Biden getting confused and wandering off the stage, and President Obama has to bring him back in. And then again, you look at the full video, you look at the other camera angle, and of course, it's at the end of it, and they're standing up, and they're on stage, and people, you know, will often walk to one part of the stage, wave, or talk to the crowd. They'll walk over to another part of the stage, wave, and talk to the crowd, which is what President Biden was doing. But, of course, Derek Van Orden and others are not interested in that if they can lie and again, try to put forth this narrative that President Biden is somehow, you know, not all with it. Why would they do that? Why would they lie about that? I don't know. Maybe it's because that over the weekend, former President Trump talked about, you know, how Joe Biden needs, you know, a cognitive skills test. And Trump talked about, you know, how he passed it. He passed a test like that when it was administered by his doctor, Dr. Ronnie Johnson. Here's the thing. If you're going to talk about taking a cognitive skills test, get the doctor's name right. It's Ronnie Jackson. While talking about a cognitive test, he screwed up his doctor's name. That's where, again, I should have had the Curb Your Enthusiasm music ready because it was perfect for it. But that's why you do it. You do it to distract. You lie about the one to distract from the other. Whether it was, you know, in Europe or whether it was over the weekend. And instead, you get Trump saying, yeah, my doctor, Dr. Ronnie Johnson. There it is. Okay, so Derek Van Orden passes that along as a way to distract from Trump, apparently. But maybe it's a way to distract from something Derek Van Orden did as well. Maybe it's a way to distract from a vote late last week in favor of putting a Confederate monument back at Arlington National Cemetery. And keep in mind, Derek Van Orden loves to talk about being a Navy SEAL and being a veteran. And yet he and more than 190 Republicans voted to restore a Confederate monument, not just any Confederate monument. Here's more from Aaron Blake with the Washington Post. He writes, a racist massacre at a black South Carolina church this week in 2015, George Floyd's murder in 2020, intensified a reckoning over the role of Confederate symbols in American public life and government. It's a reckoning that has proven uneasy in the Republican Party, but now the party has landed overwhelmingly on the side of commemorating the Confederates. The century-old monument at Arlington, which was removed last December, features a slave, a black, quote, mammy, holding the infant child of a white officer as an enslaved black man follows the officer off to war. The monument references the, quote, lost cause, the mythology about the Civil War era that is favored by apologists for the Confederacy. Now, this amendment to a proposed defense spending measure lost big time, 230 to 192, but only 24 Republicans had the courage. I would go a step further. Only 24 Republicans had the brains not to restore a Confederate monument, but not Derek Van Orden, not Tom Tiffany, not Scott Fitzgerald, not Glenn Grothman. To those and any others who say, well, this is just part of Southern heritage and tradition, House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries put it this way. What tradition are you upholding? Slavery? Rape? Kidnapping? Jim Crow? Lynching? Racial oppression? All of the above? Is how Hakeem Jeffries put it. When you hear the word heritage, be alert. Heritage is a word that's now used in political terms to defend laziness, to defend the indefensible, to defend inaction, to defend uncaring, which is where I would again strongly urge local media in Wisconsin to stop treating Derek Van Orden with kid gloves. He was once again at a local farm over the weekend talking about farming and the family farm, and we need to keep the family farm going. It's an integral part of our heritage here in Wisconsin, Van Orden said. Heritage. A word to defend uncaring and inaction. Like the farm bill, where Derek Van Orden hasn't done a single thing to make life better for Wisconsin farmers. But he's got time to spread lies about Joe Biden and vote to restore a Confederate monument. When we come back, we'll talk more about some of the several stories that are in the news this week. Newspapers overseas now are taking note of how Wisconsin Republicans are sitting on money and allowing water contaminated with PFAS to stay contaminated rather than do anything about it. And we'll talk about the Supreme Court coming down on the side of mass murderers when it comes to laws that they say are okay that consider machine guns to be legal on the streets. Back after this. You're up north.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard.
100 million Americans across 27 states remained under heat alerts coast to coast. Mid-90s today in Washington, D.C. Seeing Thaddeus Moore walking around wearing caps. What's her trick to keeping cool?
Because we walk quickly towards the shade, we're okay. And we have our water. So we're okay. And we walk very briskly.
In the heartland, the National Guard assisting residents in flood-ravaged northwest Iowa. Rivers expected to crest over record levels. The death toll rising to 4 in this weekend's mass shooting in Arkansas. Suspect is in custody. Prime Minister Netanyahu doubling down on his claims that arms shipments from the U.S. to Israel are decreasing. This as deadly IDF strikes level more buildings in northern Gaza. And Israel's defense minister prepares for meetings with officials here in the U.S. 9 people, including 6 police officers, killed in what appears to be coordinated attacks by gunmen in Russia's Dagestan region. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A Brewers comeback cut short. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It looked like the Brewers had made a tremendous comeback. Down 6-0, ninth inning, bases loaded, 2 outs. Bryce Terang at the plate on Fox Sports.
Burritos 1-2. In the air to left, Zokar started in, now has to race back all the way to the corner, and it is gone! And Bryce Terang with his second career grand slam has completely shifted the complexion of this game in the ninth.
But the Brewers ended up losing 6-4 despite the grand slam. Milwaukee 0-3 in the series, heading into today's game. A recap coming up later tonight. Elsewhere, the last place Rockies beating the Nationals 8-7 thanks to a pitch clock violation. It was a tie game. Bottom of the ninth, the Rockies loaded the bases when the home plate umpire declared the Nationals pitcher Kyle Finnegan was 1 second too late throwing a pitch. It forced the game-winning run with an automatic walk. It's the first time a game has been won because of a pitch clock violation. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 59. Sunshine, 80 for Monday. Monday night, showers and storms and a low of 68. Scattered storms Tuesday, otherwise mostly sunny and warm with highs in the upper 80s. A little bit cooler Wednesday. Sunshine, 78.
Right now, it's 80.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ plus communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Bob Neal and Edgar Hellam fell in love in the 1930s. But they also fell in love with Mineral Point, Wisconsin, where they worked together to rescue and restore buildings set to be demolished. The gay couple gave Cornish language names to those properties, the best known maybe Pendarvis, a piece of history from the mid-1800s when Mineral Point was a lead mining town. Their success during the Great Depression is considered the start of what's turned the area into an art and tourism hub. It's a story of love and preservation, and you can still experience it today thanks to Bob and Edgar. I'm Terry Barr.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in a quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now at WGBW.FM. Your news just for the Green Bay area. I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Capital Times entertainment reporter Rob Thomas and Wisconsinology website creator, director, and producer Frank Anderson joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. We go now to the Chad Holmes Show. This week, Chad was joined by Wausau native Jennifer Grundy, who has spent the last 15 years living in Milwaukee. Chad and Jennifer discussed the reality of living in Milwaukee after the former president called the place a, quote, horrible city.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Well, coming up next month, the city of Milwaukee will become the epicenter of the political universe as the Republican National Convention comes to the city in July. However, Milwaukee has become a major news topic in the past week as former President Donald Trump, in his return visit to the United States Capitol for the first time since the insurrection in January of 2021 last week, when he was talking to House Republicans. In front of his trip to the state of Wisconsin for the GOP convention, he told House GOP members that he thinks that Milwaukee is horrible. And frankly, it's something that has not just been Trump over the years. Republicans in the state assembly and state senate have used Milwaukee as a bit of a punching bag over the years. And I thought it'd be good to talk to somebody from Milwaukee, especially somebody that's from here in Wausau, somebody that went to high school here, somebody that went to college here with myself many years ago. So I reached out to Jennifer Grundy, who now lives in Milwaukee. She's lived in Milwaukee for a number of years, but a Wausau native, and very happy to have her on the show. And Jen, great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you. Thank you for having me, Chad.
Absolutely. And I said that you're somebody that's from around here. You went to Newman Catholic and then went to UW-Marathon County. And then you've been able to live in a lot of very interesting places. And I think, you know, be able to see a lot of our country and see a lot of the world. And I thought it'd be good to get a perspective from somebody that's now living in Milwaukee. And first of all, how long have you lived in Milwaukee?
Since 2009.
Okay.
15 years.
So, yeah. Yep, you've been there for quite a while. And I wanted to start off with, because as I said, it's not just been Donald Trump who made, I would say, disparaging remarks about the city of Milwaukee, but over the years, during budget battles and other political campaigns, Republicans in Wisconsin have not had the most pleasant things to say about the city of Milwaukee.
True.
I wanted to ask you, as somebody that lived here in central Wisconsin and has a sense of folks here in central Wisconsin, what can you tell us that maybe we wouldn't know because we haven't lived in Milwaukee? We haven't, maybe many of us have not lived in a large metropolitan area. What have you found out living in large metropolitan areas? And it's not just been Milwaukee, but for folks that live in areas such as Wausau and maybe the communities around Wausau, what have you learned living in a bigger city?
Well, I mean, community is really strong. There's a lot of different neighborhoods here, and everyone kind of looks after each other, you know. There's not that coldness maybe that people think, or you know, horrible activity happening all the time. I mean, yes, there's crime everywhere, you know, but I've really found that living in larger areas, people are kinder than you think. I lived in New York City, and you know, that is a place that's notoriously known for being, you know, very brisk and no one's nice, and they just go about their business, but it's actually the opposite. You know, people are people. We all look for a sense of community and a place to call home. And I mean, I definitely see that here in Milwaukee. It's a very vibrant city.
In terms of living there, and I think you kind of hit on something that many people would not believe in a sense, because we have this, I don't know if it's a myth, but there's always this sense that neighborhoods or community or people in small towns do have that, where you know each other, that if you live in a big city, it's harder to know each other. From what you just said, that's not the case, that you are able to truly know each other, know your neighbors, know your community.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I live in River West, which is a very, very funky, fun, interesting neighborhood. It's evolved a lot over the years, even in the time that I've lived there, which I've been there now for 10 years. But it's, you know, people look out for one another. There's a lot of inclusion and acceptance. It's, you know, it's, and you see that a lot around the city in a lot of different neighborhoods. But, you know, River West is one that's, you know, had its issues with crime and still continues to have some issues with crime. But people really, when those things happen, they look out for one another. They're there to help. People offer food, you know, services, anything they can, information. So it's, you know, it's wonderful.
What have you learned living in a bigger community since leaving Wausau? I mean, you said it, you lived in New York. I believe you've lived in San Francisco. Did you live in San Francisco as well?
I didn't live in San Francisco, but I lived outside of San Francisco, and I lived in Sacramento,
okay,
which is the capital.
So what have you, what did you,
the same size as Milwaukee, similar size.
What maybe surprised you? Or maybe, I don't know the best way to put it, but what are you able to get maybe in a bigger metropolitan area than what you could have got in a smaller community?
So what I've been able to get in a larger city,
yeah,
a smaller community?
Some of the big, I guess I would call it the biggest positives that you see maybe, and you can use Milwaukee as the best example.
Well, one of the biggest positives is the diversity. There's one of the things I love about Milwaukee is there are so many different cultures here. And it's, you know, it's just a very diverse, multicultural city. So you learn a lot. You learn a lot by just meeting people who are not exactly like you or what you've grown up with. But you ask questions, you hang out with them, you know. We're all human at the end of the day, and it's a great learning opportunity to grow, you know, not only in learning about different cultures in the world and different traditions, but also just as a human being.
We're talking to Jennifer Grundy, Milwaukee resident, Wausau native, here on Bow Falls Radio. When you hear comments like Trump made last week, or even, I would say, I in a sense, I would think almost it'd be more disturbing when you hear the Republicans in the state capitol when they're discussing different issues, basically, in a lot of ways, I would call dumping on Milwaukee. What do you think? What is the discussion for residents in Milwaukee when it feels at times you're a bit of a punching bag for some issues that really are not Milwaukee's fault?
Well, I mean, it makes us angry and irritated, and like we have to defend ourselves against something that's not even, I mean, like you say, it's not our fault. And the crime rate has actually gone down in the past, since 2022, the crime rate has gone down. So, and that's nationwide. We're not even in the highest percentage of crime in the, you know, the United States. So to hear, you know, to hear those comments, and it's just, it's frustrating.
Could I ask you about, you said it, diversity, and that's been such a hot-button issue with Robin Voss and the state capitol and others as they try to, you know, take funding away from the universities and just basically try to erase diversity, equity, inclusion programs. And you said it, I think, a couple of times here about that being such a big positive. If you were to talk to, say, Robin Voss, and try to explain to him, and I think a lot of what he's doing is political. I think he thinks he's talking to people who live in the small towns and trying to get the votes in these rural areas. But if you were to talk to, well, anybody about the positives of, especially, you know, diversity and why these DEI programs are not a bad thing at all.
I mean, we have to evolve, and it's, you know, diversity is something to be celebrated. Yes, we all want equality, but what makes us different is also something to be celebrated. So to make people who maybe don't fit into a certain idea of what people like Robin Voss, you know, think is what should be the norm, so then you are you're pushing those people down, and it's not fair to be excluding people. And I don't understand at the end of the day how it is a negative.
What are your thoughts? Oh, sorry.
People lose by just being kind, you know?
Right.
And listening.
You know, let me say that word kindness. And I think that that's one of the things, and again, I'm going to put it out there. One of the things that annoys me most about Donald Trump is he's not a very kind person.
No.
And the leadership of whether it's a community or whether it's a state, and especially whether it's a country, having that empathy, having an ability to look at each other and find the goodness instead of constantly having this mean streak. And I just think that, you know, for the country's sake, that if we were able to use that kindness aspect, it's so vitally important. And we've seen, I think, in the last 10 years since he became a political figure, that people may have avoided saying some things. Well, now they feel like, hey, this guy says this, it's okay to say it. And that's led to a lot of issues. And that's my editorial comment on it.
Yes, I agree 100%. I mean, you know, if it's okay to be a bully, then someone who feels like they want to be a bully or they're insecure and that's why they're going after someone who's different than them, then they feel validated. They feel validated because, hey, our president is doing that. Mm-hmm. Our president is pushing people down, making fun of journalists who are disabled, for example. I mean, I don't know how it didn't stop at that. That didn't change things because that was horrifying.
Right.
You know, but it's really disappointing to have, you know, such a large number of people in this country support that mentality. And it's, you know, it's disappointing. And I guess all we can do is just continue to try and be positive and you know, have discussions with one another, have honest discussions, no matter what we believe. Like, just sit down and talk to people who have different beliefs than us. I don't know. I mean, how else are we going to, you know, move forward as a country if we're so divided about everything and not able to just sit and talk like human beings? We're all human beings at the end of the day.
And one final question. Obviously, you know, in the next number of weeks, the convention will be in Milwaukee. Unfortunately, 4 years ago when the Democrats were there, unfortunately, we had to go through something called the global pandemic, and that obviously took away the opportunity for a full convention. How do you feel about it? I mean, obviously, it's probably good for the economy of the state and the city of Milwaukee, but at the same time, welcoming Donald Trump to town, I imagine there's some mixed feelings.
Yes. I've worked in the restaurant industry for several years, and I just know I know a lot of the people in the industry here are a little wary of how these people coming to town are going to treat them, just because there's just not a lot of kindness that we've seen, you know, in this current climate. I'm hoping for something better, you know, maybe there'll be something positive that comes out of it. I mean, I'm hoping that it's, you know, positive for our city in some way. But we'll see, I guess, what happens.
Yeah, we will see. That's definitely, I think, a good way to wrap it up. Jenna, I really appreciate the time. Again, it's wonderful to talk to you. It's great to know that you're proud of your city, being there for 15 years, obviously. And again, really appreciate it. Hopefully the next month or so goes well for everybody, as you said, in the food industry and everybody else down in Milwaukee when the GOP comes to town. But again, thank you very much. And thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you, Chad.
That's Jennifer Grundy, again, Wausau native, Milwaukee resident for the last 15 years. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
The Chad Holmes Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WXCO weekday mornings from 8 until 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass,
only...
Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wrapping up hour one of this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we'll hear from the Todd Alba Show. Todd welcomes Harry Dunn, a former U.S. Capitol Police officer who helped defend democracy on January 6th, 2021. He shares what it was like to be there on that fateful day and how he continues to advocate for democracy now that he's left the police force.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock here at hour number two, a What's Worse for You, and talking about renewable energy. But right now we're honored to have our guest with us, Harry Dunn, former Capitol Police Officer, author of a great book right here in front of me called Standing My Ground, Capitol Police Officers Fight for Accountability and Good Trouble After January 6th. Officer Dunn, talk to us a little bit about after January 6th. And my former party, as people know, I left in 2011, the Republican Party, but with the exception of former Congresswoman Liz Cheney and former Congressman Adam Kinzinger, my former party didn't seem to have a whole lot of chutzpah, of guts to quote-unquote back the blue. But how does it feel being now a former Capitol Police officer and seeing this Republican Party all but abandon you guys?
It sucks. You know, yeah, it sucks. Just, and it's not even about back the blue. That's a slogan, man. It's a cool hashtag.
Right.
They could put it as the topic of the subject of a fundraiser email. It's worthless unless their actions put behind it. And like January 6th, man, like this isn't about liberal versus conservatism, or this isn't about, hey, we're spending too much money in X amount of place. We can have those discussions later, but this is about what's right and wrong. Y'all watched on TV, y'all watched on live broadcast, people beating the crap out of police officers on behalf of the former president. Like, that's not speculation. That's not the left grandstanding. That is what happened. The people that were there on January 6th said that they were there because the former president told them to come there. They were there with the intentions of stopping the steal and stopping the certification of the election. I don't understand. Just because, yeah, it makes your leader look bad, how can you downplay, deny that truth? Like that. I hate the whataboutisms, and they don't understand how two things can be true. Sure, you want to win the presidency, you can be want to be conservative, and you want to take away Roe v. Wade. That's fine. Like, I have my own opinions about that. But when it comes down to what happened that day, those people were sent to the Capitol by the former president to attack it and to stop, delay, the certification of the election. And you know, people want to blame, or the Capitol wasn't prepared and officers did this and blah, 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 or Nancy Pelosi didn't do enough security, whatever. I hear all of that. That's kind of like blaming the person for not locking their house when a burglar breaks in.
Right.
Like,
right.
Sure. Sure. Maybe we should have more security, but not blame the robber for coming in and breaking in. At what point does personal accountability matter? something that Republicans preach a lot, but it seems like they don't receive it.
Give us the 1 minute. You're talking to the statewide audience here, to people in my former party, people independents who might have a back the blue sign in their yard, who vote for the local sheriff. What would you say to those folks in 1 minute about this election for president in 2024?
Well, you can still back the blue. You could still be conservative. That's fine. Like, I understand that. That's fine. And we can argue those differences and like they did in the good old days, you know, and still be friends afterwards. Now it's like you're either with them or you're against them. People need to understand what happened on January 6th was caused by Donald Trump lying about the election being stolen. Now, even if you want Donald Trump, that's fine. But let's not go off on these tangent of alternative facts, and let's be real about what happened. And that's the picture that I'm trying to paint here in Wisconsin and all across the country, to tell voters, hey, you could still be conservative, but that individual, the former president, only cares about himself, and he doesn't care about other people.
A little over 2 minutes left here. We're talking to Harry Dunn, former Capitol Police officer. I want to talk about your Democracy Defenders, Harry Dunn's Democracy Defenders PAC, what you're doing now to help us save democracy.
So, yeah. So I, after January 6th, I did all that I can do. Like, stand at January 6th, we did our job as police officers. On January 7th, I'm doing up until now, speaking out because I love this country. I value our institutions. I think we need to elect people that represent our best interests in those institutions. And I ran for Congress myself unsuccessfully. My primary was May the 14th. And I came in second place out of 22 candidates, but I still want to continue to fight against MAGA extremists. And that's the goal of our PAC, to help elect candidates that want to fight against MAGA extremists. And that's not necessarily saying only Democrats, because look, there are Republicans out there, very few and far between, that don't subscribe to the MAGA ideology. Mm-hmm. And those are the people I think that we need to have a healthy democracy, so we can have healthy conversations with across the aisle. Liz Cheney and I didn't agree on anything fundamentally, but we were able to sit down at the table and respect each other and have conversations about it. Same Adam Kinzinger. You know, I love Adam. He's a very dear friend of mine. Mm-hmm. But being able to have conversations with him and find respect each other as individuals and human beings and finding middle ground, it's what it's all about.
You can find Harry Dunn's Democracy Defenders on Facebook, amongst other places. You can text Dunn, D-U-N-N, to 78077. That's Dunn, D-U-N-N, to 78077. Mr. Zomers will have that in the show notes. A couple minutes left here. I wish we could talk to you. You're one of these guys, Officer Dunn, where I could sit down with a beer. I could just listen to you all afternoon and be enthralled. I appreciate everything that you have done and your colleagues, the Capitol Police officers. You are American heroes. There's no doubt about that. I appreciate everything you have done. As you go around Wisconsin, what surprised you being out here and talking to people? What do you come away with that you didn't know before?
It matters to people. One, elections matter. And two, a lot of people aren't sure about what happened that day. Sure, and living in D.C., or you can feel like you're living in a bubble, you know, watching cable news all the time. But understanding that, hey, some people aren't sure about what happened on January 6th. They want to know what happened without all the political spin to it. You know, all right, Donald Trump sent a group of people to the Capitol. They beat up cops. They tried to stop a certification of the election. That's what happened. So people want to understand what happened without all the political mumbo jumbo that a lot of people in that bubble listen to, that get used to. So I like that part. The people just want to know the facts. Yeah. And those are the people we're trying to reach. I'm not going to, it's some MAGA people, though I'll never convince. Right. But at the middle, average, everyday American person, I'm happy to talk to.
Harry Dunn, former Capitol Police officer, great author of a great book, and activist for Harry Dunn's Democracy Defenders. Thank you, Officer Dunn, for all you do for America. You're an American hero. I salute you. God bless you. Safe travels here in Wisconsin. Come back and see you soon.
Todd, we're going to get that beer. I will take you up on that.
You got it. Thank you very much, right, Officer Dunn. Care. Thank you so much. Stay tuned for hour two of the Todd Lowballs show, straight ahead right here on this.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as I'll be making my way back from the dentist. Will the Novocaine have worn off? It could be fun. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol. Honor the Earth Pow Wow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.